You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK. My name is Beth Weisong, and on today's program, we have a very special treat. The Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program has collaborated with Amy Haddon Marsh of the KDNK News Team and middle school students from Two Rivers Community School. During the next hour, Amy will be talking with middle school teacher Kevin Shepherd and 14 of his students who have been learning about the topic of wild horse management. And now I'd love to turn the mics over to Amy and Kevin Shepherd.
Thanks, Beth. This has been a fabulous program to help with. I really appreciate Beth for asking me to help out. And Kevin Shepherd, you are the middle school
social studies
and English teacher.
Yes, that is correct. It's great to be here.
Yeah, this is a fabulous program. Can you describe this, how the program works and what the students have been involved in?
Definitely. So over at Two Rivers Community School, in our social studies and science department, we do PBL, which is problem-based learning. Mm. And during problem-based learning, we try to answer a real-world problem where kids then go and kind of present real-world solutions to this problem of how we could maybe solve it. Mm-hmm. So it all culminates at the end of the trimester with the kids trying to solve the problem. This is how can we sustainably manage wild horses in the Western United States?
Okay.
So the kids are looking at how to solve this problem from both a social studies historical angle and from a science angle. Oh. And at the end, they will be presenting to a panel of experts in about 2 weeks their solution. So there's about 12 groups in the middle school that will be presenting these solutions.
Wow, 12 groups, and we're talking to 4 groups today.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit about what these students have done. I mean, is this an independent study or is it a guided study? How does that work?
So as teachers, we're kind of facilitators of this study where we're kind of giving students resources that they can choose from. We're allowing them to pick research topics that they can dive deeper into. Mm-hmm. The kids also go on field studies. And it's a mixed age level class, which is very cool. So the older kids can learn from the younger kids and the younger kids can learn from the older kids, which works out really good for the community of the school. Mm-hmm. But we've gone to several horse advocacy groups, such as Steadfast Steeds over in the Colorado Monument, just above that. We've also spoken with Ginger Catherine. We did a Skype session with her after watching her movie Cloud.
Yeah, she's the director of the Cloud Foundation and a wild horse advocate.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then so other than that, actually at Steadfast Steeds, some of these kids in eighth grade got to lead horses, I believe. The sixth graders got to ride horses earlier.
Wow.
That was with another teacher, so I'm not sure where they went for that.
So it sounds like this project, when you're looking at sustainable management for wild horses, the entire school is involved.
Yeah, the whole middle school is involved. Wow. So sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, every single student in science and social studies class were incorporating the Colorado State standards and the next generation standards into this wild horse curriculum.
Well, I guess we better get going and talking to these kids about wild horses.
Yeah, they got some good information.
So the first group, could you introduce them, Kevin?
Yep.
They're studying the history of wild horses.
Yeah, so our first group, they are in Miss Carver's class, and this is Leela, Izzy, Alex, and Willa, and they're studying kind of the history of this problem. What is the problem?
Well, hi, you guys.
Hi.
It's great to have you here. I'm so excited. So what I'd like to know first is, why did you 4 choose to go in depth and study more about the history of wild horses?
Well, we chose this topic as our podcast in Miss Carver's class. Mm-hmm. And we were passionate about it because we believe that,
we kind of want people to, know about what is going on. We want them to realize that the horses are overpopulated, and we want people to know about it. So,
okay. Because we believe that building awareness can help solve the issue, and that when people become aware of it, they can start coming up with solutions, and the public can become more a part of the issue, which can lead to a better solution.
Okay. Well, why, you know, wild horses are pretty famous, aren't they? They're symbols of the West. Why is that?
Well, I guess that
The wild horses are a symbol of the American West because people, when they see wild horses, think of freedom and bravery, and it's like almost a way to become peaceful with yourself when you think of something wild in spirit and such a beautiful creature.
You know, you guys, the title of your particular podcast, at least from what I've seen, is that you're studying the history of the wild horse problem. Why is it a problem?
Basically, they're overpopulating, meaning like there's too many around. They're starving because there's too many. There's not enough food.
They're starving. Who says they're starving? Where did you hear that they were starving? I'm just curious.
I guess we've been watching a lot of videos and stuff, and I guess that was like kind of like a lot of the people have been saying that.
Okay,
so
you just picked that up. Yeah. Okay, sure. All right.
Also, what part of the problem is there's just not enough room for the horses, and there's also distribution issues where there's a lot of area where there could be wild horses, but a lot of area where there's way too many, and it's also very costly to be able to move the horses to the different areas, so that's one of the issues.
So money, there are too many horses, there's not enough room for them, and it's expensive. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. People also argue that there aren't too many horses, but there's just too many livestock. But that's just something that I read.
Okay. Too many livestock meaning?
Cattle, sheep, pigs.
Okay. All right. Other animals that share federal lands. Is that it? Okay. Does anybody know who Velma Johnson was?
Velma Johnson was born in Reno, Nevada in 1912, and she was known as Wild Horse Annie, and she was an animal welfare activist. Mm-hmm. So
she was like the first. Heard close, too. So what did she do with the wild horses? I mean, I guess before you answer that, do you remember how she got into this sort of thing, how she decided to protect them?
Yeah, so one day she was driving on the road and she saw a horse trailer dripping with blood. And so she decided to follow it to a slaughterhouse. And she believed that that was inhumane. And she really suddenly felt that she needed to make a change. So she wanted to get the slaughterhouses shut down.
Okay, and so as a result, what happened throughout her work? You know, in 1971, something happened. What happened?
The Wild Horse and Burro Act to be, which is when they shut down the slaughterhouses.
They shut down the slaughterhouses. Didn't they just protect the horses?
Oh, yeah. They protected the horses. The law was that they couldn't be harmed or killed on federal land.
That's right. How did this become a problem? I mean, it sounds like, you know, there's Velma Johnson in the 1950s saying, wow, you know, we need to protect these horses from being slaughtered. And finally, after several years, Congress passes the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act, and now it's a problem. What happened?
The wild horses got overpopulated, so like the 27 million acres, they can 27 million acres can sustain 27,000 wild horses, and there's 72,000 there now.
Wow, 72,000? Wow.
In the United States.
Wow, so. That's a lot, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think that, okay, the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, right? You talked to some people from the BLM. They manage most of the wild horses in our country. What is your idea of how they're doing? Are they doing a good job?
I think that they're doing a decent job, but they haven't found a permanent solution. Like, it's like they have found sterilization, but that only works for 1 year. Unless they do it numerous times to the same horse, then it slowly stops them from having babies. But they also have found, like, rounding them up works, but not many horses get adopted from that roundup. Mm-hmm. Some of them are left in the small cages.
Mm-hmm. Something related to that is groups of people recently Skyped with a woman named Ginger, and she said to us that it costs $27 per sterilization, injection, and so it also costs a lot. So that's what the BLM man who came to visit us, Andrew Archuleta, called a Band-Aid solution.
Okay, a Band-Aid solution. Kevin?
Yeah, that is, we had Andrew Archuleta, who's the head of, I believe, the Northwest BLM, come in and speak. He was a guest speaker at our school one day. So he kind of saw the temporary sterilization dart in the horses as a not a permanent solution. He kind of acknowledged that, yeah, what the BLM is doing isn't going to last forever. Something else does need to be done. And something I forgot to mention is, in science class, they're presenting their solutions to a panel of experts. And in social studies class, the final product is going to be a podcast that they're creating. And we're going to try to upload all of our students' podcasts onto the Two Rivers community website.
Great. We'll be looking for that, right, before the end of the year?
Yep. So there'll be more information on, hopefully, on the school website.
Well,
soon.
I have one more question for this group. Actually, I have lots, but we only have time for one question. You guys have done an excellent job on this.
Thank you.
What Thank did you. You like best about what you learned? I'd like to hear from all four of you.
I guess that would be, learning about these horses. Like, I didn't know much about them, and I thought it was pretty interesting to see what they do, how we can help, and that we can, like, help them and make a difference to them. So I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree with Willa. What I learned was, because when I was younger, I used to love horses. I used to ride them, and I never really thought about them having an issue until we researched this, and I realized that, like, it's become a bigger issue than I thought it would be, because, like, just a bunch of people are not, like, they don't agree with what the BLM are doing, the BLM is doing, and they just, there's a bunch of, like, arguments going around about what we should do with the population.
It's kind of controversial, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what I found most interesting is, when we first got introduced to this project, I thought that I wasn't going to be too interested in it. And I sort of went in with a bad attitude. But once I learned more background knowledge, I started to get really interested in the issue and with how many different opinions there are and looking at all the different opinions and seeing the sides that I can believe. And I think that it was just a very interesting project to see what's happening currently and what's happened in the past with our country. Mm-hmm. And so I felt that it was just a very interesting project.
Great. You have an open mind. That's excellent. So we need to hear from
Alex.
So what I was interested in the project was that, like, people try to solve the problem, but then it just creates, like, another problem.
Wow,
so, like, they solved it by putting the horses in the holding facilities, and then they just sit there, and I don't think that's humane to just let animals sit there.
Okay.
And
all right.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we have, what did you want to add something?
I agree with Alex how it's inhumane to have an animal that's supposed to be wild and free, that many people believe is an icon, to die in captivity. And, yeah.
Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Lila, Willa, Izzy, and Alex. So we're going to hear a song from my friend Chuck Pyle, and we'll be back with group number two. You're listening to KDNK. It's 2:49. This is the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.
All right, Amy. So our next group is Kiara, Ruby, Bell, Alexis, and Emma, and they've been researching the Canyon City WIP program and another program called Mustang Makeover, which these are both two potential solutions to this wild horse management problem.
Well, great. Thanks, Kevin. And welcome, Kiara, Ruby Bell, Alexis, and Emma. Glad you guys are here. So we're going to talk about the Canyon City Wild Horse Inmate Program, or the Canyon City WIP Program. And that we'll be talking to Kiara and Ruby Bell. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hi. Why did you choose to study the Canyon City Wild Horse Inmate Program?
We chose to study it. Well, because it sounds interesting, and well, that's all.
That's a good reason to study it, because it sounds interesting. Good idea. Let's see. Where are my questions? So, talk about the Wild Horse Inmate Program. I mean, describe this program. How did it come into existence? Why? When? Tell us all about it.
Well, it started in 1986.
You guys are doing fine. It started in 1986.
All right. And, well, the Canyon City Horse Program mm-hmm. is a program where inmates train horses and then auction them off.
Oh, so the inmates are working with the captured wild horses.
Yes, that is correct.
Wow. So it started in 1986. Do you know why?
Well, it started because we had too many horses in our land.
I'm going to talk on the mic.
It started because the wild horse population was way too high and we needed a place for all the horses to go. And this was a great opportunity for the inmates to get, like, with the wild so mm-hmm. that they could feel the outside even though they're in an enclosure.
Okay. So how does it work? What do they do?
The inmate program, they get over 3,000 horses mm-hmm. and they have the inmates train them until they're like able to be auctioned. And then when it's say an auction day or a dedicated day for the horses to get new homes, they would have all the horses be lined up just like the Mustang Makeover Challenge. Mm-hmm. So that they could be adopted and get new homes.
Okay.
Well, except there is no time limit in ours.
What do you mean, no time limit?
Well, they can take as long as...
Right. You mean the inmates can take as long as they want to train the horse?
Yes, as long as you like.
Okay, so that's one of the big differences between these two programs.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Where's my other question? How good is it?
This is a great program because the inmate program can house over 3,000 horses and 20 horses get adopted each month.
Wow.
So about 240 a year.
Wow.
With the Mustang Makeover Challenge, only like an estimate of 100 horses get adopted a year.
Okay. All right. So the benefits are that there are a lot of horses that the inmates can work with, and the inmates get to go outside and work with these horses, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. So what What do you like best about what you learned about the inmate program?
Well, the thing I liked about best was that I kind of, well, kind of,
is what I liked best about it is that the horses got a home and they got to be adopted, mm-hmm. and they weren't enclosed in the places, or they weren't getting rounded up by mm-hmm. the BLM.
Okay. Kiara, anything to add?
Well, something that I dislike is that they're just like auctioning them off and then keep auctioning them off and just auctioning them off until, well, what happens next after that?
Okay. So you don't know what happens next after all the horses are auctioned off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think any of us do. So, moving along. Good job. Very good job on the Canyon City WIP program. That is quite a program. So, we're talking to Alexis and Emma, and they studied the Mustang Makeover. Is this a BLM program?
No.
No? Talk about this program.
So it was started by Brandley Caldy,
mm-hmm.
And he had other people help him too, and it's kind of like a competition, and it was starting in 2006.
2006, and it's a competition.
Yeah, it's been going on for 12 years now.
Wow, competition. So talk about that competition. What happens?
So they go to a adoption site that the BLM has, mm-hmm. and they give them a number, and whatever horse they get, and then they have 100 days to train them.
Oh.
And then they come. Last year it was held at Fort Worth in Texas,
mm-hmm.
and they compete, and then like the top 10 or 15 go in to another round, and they pick a winner out of that, and you can either auction your horses or keep them, and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they have 100 days to train this horse from a wild horse to a horse that can be ridden or ride in horse shows or whatever. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And this isn't a BLM project. So what is it about this program that you like so much? Why did you choose to study Mustang Makeover?
I chose to study the Mustang Makeover Challenge because they get the horses auctioned to homes, mm-hmm. and then they're not wild anymore, but they're used,
mm-hmm.
and then they can the population is overpopulated, so
mm-hmm.
they're trying to get it lower. And I think I like it because it's a competition and it's cool. And
it makes it fun, doesn't it? Yeah. Did you watch one? Have you watched any of the Mustang Makeover competitions?
There's a movie about it. It's called Wild Horse Wild Ride.
Yeah. Okay. Wild Horse Wild Ride. I remember that. Well, excellent. I just want to remind listeners that it's 1 minute after 3 o'clock. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, and I'm here with students from the Two Rivers Community School and Kevin Shepherd, who is the social studies and English teacher there. And we're talking about this project that the entire middle school has been working on this term on wild horse management. And we just heard from Kiara, Ruby Bell, Alexis, and Emma on the Canyon City Wild Horse Inmate Program and the Mustang Makeover Program. Thank you very much.